Pay attention.
This year we explored the failure of democracy. The social scientists brought our world to the brink of chaos. We talked about the veterans, how they took control and imposed the stability that has lasted for generations since. You know these facts, but have I taught you anything of value this year? You, why are only citizens allowed to vote?
It's a reward. What the Federation gives you for doing federal service.
No. Something given has no value. Look, when you vote, you are exercising political authority. You're using force. And force, my friends, is violence. The supreme authority from which all other authority is derived.
My mother always said violence never solves anything.
Really? I wonder what the city fathers of Hiroshima would say about that.
They probably wouldn't say anything. Hiroshima was destroyed.
Correct. Naked force has resolved more issues throughout history than any other factor. The contrary opinion, that violence never solves anything, is wishful thinking at its worst. People who forget that always pay. What's the moral difference, if any, between a civilian and a citizen?
A citizen accepts personal responsibility for the safety of the body politic, defending it with his life. A civilian does not.
The exact words of the text. But do you understand it? Do you believe it?
I don't know.
Of course you don't. I doubt anyone here would recognize civic virtue if it reached up and bit you in the ass.
American media is a business, and it has a mission. Not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with the capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it is a good day. This is Sean Kennedy reporting to you from the Internet for Friday, September 2nd, 2005. And this, if you haven't noticed, would be Newsreel, the WOG Global Sit Rep for the Core Political Tyranny, Technology, and Trends for your headspace and timing, just to help you keep on top of the program. Rant Media is taking a stand for free speech today. And just by listening to this program, well, you are as well. You can read all the news stories along with me by going to my live journal, and you can get to my live journal by going to sean_kennedy.livejournal.com. This would be a free radio broadcast that can be heard on Rant Radio, Wild Bunch Radio, WNY Media Network, KJAG Radio, Pure Rock Radio, Osprey Radio.info, Extreme Radio Tampa, and SRN1. And let's not forget that you yourself are free to distribute this broadcast any way you see fit. You can hand it out to anyone you want to. We don't care. As a matter of fact, we'd encourage you to do that because it's through word of mouth that Rant Radio, Rant Media, Newsreel, and everything that we do here happens to gain in power and force. We are like, I suppose you could call us like intellectually littering our concepts all over the web and all over the world, which has made me think about a few things. Now, you know, as everybody knows, I fucking hate Scientologists. I hate them, hate them, hate them. Actually, that's wrong. Sorry, misspoke there. I don't hate Scientologists. The gists are just the people. It's like Jehovah's Witnesses, right? They're not bad people. They've just been misused. I mean, people aren't generally bad. It's thoughts and ideas that are kind of like weird thoughts and ideas. For example, if all of us were born and raised in Nazi Germany, we'd all be Nazis. That's just the truth. Why? Because that's what we'd be imprinted with. And people don't like to admit that. People don't like to admit that we are a victim of our own imprinting. So if you're raised in a Christian Catholic family, and that's all you know, then chances are you're going to grow up to be a Christian Catholic. What a shock. But when we start talking about things like Scientology and the whole teachings of that particular organization, you wonder, how in the hell is it possible that anybody could fall into this trap? Well, because the trap is very well made. They've got, you know, all the engineering they could possibly do to this to make this thing seem very, you know, believable and realistic and stuff like that. And people don't like to admit the fact that the mind has no firewalls. That's what we're talking about here. Now, when people try to control what sees goes into their own mind, I mean, sometimes they're called extremists, i.e. vegetarians or vegans, or perhaps people who don't watch television. I mean, that's a weird thing to do. And then the more disconnected you are from media, then the less likely you are to get along socially, because everyone socially shares virtual experiences. Did you see Friends the other night? Did you happen to check out the latest episode of Fill in the Blank? And I'm just as guilty of that as the next guy. I mean, I'll talk about movies and everybody feels a sense of kinship because we've all seen the same movie. We know exactly what we're talking about. That is a shared experience. And this, you know, kind of moves forward. This is one of the reasons why, again, soldiers will always drink with soldiers, because no matter what army you're from, everybody knows what it is to have a meal in the dirt, sleep in a trench, and all that good stuff. So they have the esprit of mutual suffering. This is one thing about Newsreel. If everyone listens to Newsreel, that's a shared experience, and therefore everyone has something in common, and the rant community grows. This is all the idea. And of course, we're always throwing out new thoughts, new concepts, new ideas. Now, one of the things I'm wondering about here is, I can't very well go off talking about how much I hate Scientology and then at the same breath not call for censorship. Let's assume all of a sudden that Sean Kennedy becomes Emperor of the Universe. Bing! There's a scary thought. Now, once I'm Emperor of the Universe, after I, you know, finish rolling around and doing all the cool Emperor stuff, you know, after I finish doing all that, I'm going to want to get rid of a few things. Now, one of the things I'd want to get rid of is Scientology. But how do you do that? How do you get rid of an idea? Suddenly, you become an oppressor. Or worse, you become a censor. Sean doesn't like people talking about Scientology. Sean doesn't like that. So how would you get rid of it? How would you ditch this really horrible idea? How do you ditch the Nazis? How do you ditch these things? Well, you can vilify them. That's one method of doing it. That seems sort of dishonest and misleading, though. I mean, to vilify something, you sit there and say, look how terrible it is, blah, 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 blah. Of course, it is terrible. But you can vilify anything. Hell, they're vilifying the internet right now. You see what I mean? So there is no real clear-cut way to do this unless you censor it. But of course, we're against censorship, right? Because I swear my head off all the time. So it's an interesting sort of dichotomy there. I don't really know how would you get rid of an idea without censoring the idea. And there's some ideas, like, for example, child pornography. Okay, child pornography is a crime. It's a concept. It's an idea, you know, sexual derangement and all that. How do you eradicate that? Now, maybe child porn and child, you know, pedophilia is a bad idea because that's a medical condition. You know, these people have something wrong with their brains, so on and so forth. So let's stick with Scientology. How do you eradicate Scientology? Do you have a big book burning and we all get together and burn all the Scientology texts? Well, we may as well play the drums and, you know, all that kind of stuff at the same time, too. And if so, is that what you gotta do? I mean, I don't know. If I kind of, there's something in my spider sense that goes, whoa, that's not such a good idea. So, you know, you don't burn the books. And you don't regulate what people talk about. So how about these churches? Do you stop them from gathering at churches? How do you stop bad ideas? How do you stop negative ideas? By education. Maybe that's the best key to have this sort of psychological war. But I feel bad in that because that means that you're not going, that there's going to be people who still fall into these traps, and people will stand back and they'll say, yeah, but that's Darwinian physics, man. There's not much you can do about that. I mean, so what? There will always be winners and there will always be losers. And the human body and the human mind is the most complex thing known. You know, the human brain is just amazing. And the thought of just one human body and mind being wasted. I mean, when you think about how just incredibly powerful a human body and mind can be, I just hate to see these things going to waste. I got a problem with waste. I don't like waste. I'm funny like that. So, I don't know. You know, I'm not trying to be misleading here. This is an honest asking for you. You know, please don't send me volumes and volumes and volumes of email, because, like, I don't mind if I get a bunch of email, but don't send me, like, 20 pages. Make it succinct. Make it a couple paragraphs. I'll throw it out online. Let's talk about how do we get control. I played a clip at the intro of the movie, and that's what Robert Heinlein was talking about. He's talking about all the vets gaining control. And unfortunately, that sort of a structured government does scare a lot of people, but it cannot be argued that it is effective. You know, I haven't done a lot of reading of Heinlein's. I read Starship Troopers, which is what the movie was so super loosely based on. Oh, my God. But that particular speech I played at the beginning, the entire book, Starship Troopers, is based upon that. And that was a very influential book in my life. I'd have to say that I agree with that particular, you know, sort of structure. But there's a few things in there. There's the dark side to Starship Troopers. There's the dark side to Heinlein's world. And I'd be interested to see what the internet and what server has to say about that. Because, well, if you know, he proposes certain solutions to certain problems in his books. You know what I mean? And incidentally, it's kind of funny how L. Ron Hubbard ripped off Heinlein, because there's another book he's got, which I was reading. Oh, God. I can't remember the title of it. How embarrassing. But in there, he talks about how to create, like, aliens take over the planet. And he says, well, in order to fight the aliens who've taken over the planet, we're going to make churches. And these churches are going to have, you know, communications run back and forth from them. They'll kind of like be safe havens. He doesn't actually call them mosques, but you can see where I got my ideas from. You know what I mean? So there's a lot of ideas, you know, floating around, because realistically, through the control of the corporate media, the corporations have it in the bag. Okay, they've got this sucker licked. They're feeding everybody mainstream programming news. They're going to get control of the internet. And once they get control of that baby, it's all over but the crying. Sure, there'll always be us few stragglers out here on the fringes who will keep on broadcasting and screaming as long and as hard as we can in order to keep the fight alive. But we're never going to get anywhere unless we can honestly get ourselves structured and organized. And that means not fighting with each other, not calling each other down, and instead of, you know, ripping each other apart, try to find ways that to assist each other. So I'm interested in hearing from people other than just Agent Subversion, who's a very excited dude. We disagree on a lot of stuff. He's not affiliated with Rant. He's doing his own thing over there. We're both marching in the same direction, but very definitely marching to different drummers, just because I've had a lot of people email me and said, do you know this guy? Do you know what he's doing with? Yeah, I know who the guy is. He's an okay dude. I got no problem with him, but he's not on the Rant team. Just so you know, we're just going to get a little bit of distance there. Does that mean I think he's a bad dude? No, I don't. I think he's doing some stuff that we can't be affiliated with, but that's okay. You know what I'm saying here? So there it is. So props out. And that's not a slight. That's not a diss in any way. You know, he's presenting a lot of opportunities for people who may or may not want to be involved with the dude. And if you want to, great. If not, great. That's cool. But, you know, just be aware that, you know, if you start doing any kind of direct action stuff, that you do stand a very good chance of going to jail permanently, and you'll get caught up in the machine. And this is why I'm always encouraging of people to not participate in direct action, because it fucks up your entire life. And I'd hate to see kids make a couple of bad decisions when they're very young that fucks them for the rest of their days, because it doesn't sound like you want to be hardcore now. But trust me, okay, down the road, you want to make sure that you keep your options open. It's always a good plan. Maybe I sound like I'm going all soft over here. I don't know. But, you know, honest to God, I'm saying this stuff because I give a shit about the young people. Now, that said, though, if anybody's got anything to say about, you know, the Heinlein world, why they think it sucks, whatever, give it to me again in a couple of paragraphs. Don't send me the 40-page synopsis, okay? I'm not really interested in that. I can't read it on the air. I need stuff, and it takes me a long time to read that shit. Okay, so, you know, because I'm slow. I'm a little slow. So if you want to send that in, make sure you chop it down. Get it to newsreel@rantradio.com. Let's get into some feedback right off the top here. Hey, Sean and Sim. Just wanted to let you know, in response to the free media handouts at Evolve was amazing. This was Buddy here. Mookie went to Evolve and started handing out Rant Media stuff to spread the virus. Thank you so much, Mookie. You are the goods. The CDs were handed out to people, and they were quite receptive to the concept of free media. Pictures of the event will soon to follow. Cheers, Mookie. Well, make sure you send those pictures to Sim so that we can eventually get that up and online. After all, it's just me and my fire team partner, Samarian, over here in the trench, and we're trying to lay down as much fire as we can. And because of all the support element of all the WOGs out there, we're getting the job done. Dear Sean Kennedy, New Orleans is fucked. I mean it. We're talking about fucked here. Well, I got an idea. Why can't a dozen or more WOGs head down there after things have settled down a bit and set up a temporary tent city? We can function as an autonomous aid group providing much-needed assistance. I picture scouts using GPS to tag areas of need and headquarters delegating and dispatching aid. We can have WOGs all over the country go to their local businesses and collect up food and do a WOG version of Food Not Bombs down there to provide meals to those poor suckers that got the boot. It goes on and on about what we could do. That sounds like a logistical nightmare, but it is possible. If we did such a thing, we'd get attention to the WOG movement as well. Yeah, it would be hard, but it would be worth it. We can help our fellow people and spread the word. We don't need some government to tell us we need the help. What we need is a complex system. We don't need some complex control system to keep us in line. We can function as a team and help a large number of folks up, and by Jove, we can make a small difference. Who knows? Maybe someone could give us a chunk of land to build a facility on or something. I'm I, for one, am down for it. Woggs, a call to arms, put up or shut up. If we all were to about decrease sufferings, then we have a golden opportunity to show it. Fuck flyers, let's save some lives. And that, of course, if you haven't guessed, is from Age of Subversion. Now, that's a pretty good idea. However, my dance card is full. I'm doing all I can from this trench with my buddy Sam in here, and we're doing all we can on this line. Now, if you want to get involved with something like that, I am not involved with this. I am simply yet another WOG who's seeing what another WOG is doing. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to give this guy's email out, which is agentsubversion1word@gmail.com. Glad you got a gig worth of space there. Gig worth of space there. Agent. Now, for those of you out there, I get emails from time to time that are a little scary. They're a little direct action and stuff like that. And sometimes I reply to them, sometimes I don't. Usually I delete them and shred them and try to destroy them as best I can so that nobody winds up going to jail. But for those of you out there listening who are a lot more hardcore than thou, you know, who happen to think, oh, Sean's cool, but he's kind of a pussy, and who want to be involved with something like this, I can think of a few people. I can think of one lovely young lady who spends a lot of time in her car, who was a prophet, who, you know, might be interested in doing something like this. I think you should probably get in contact with Agent Subversion and see if, you know, hey, Agent, you want to do it, that's great, man, but you're going to be the man in charge, because I sure as shit, I'll run news updates on it, but if you want to do that, hey, you know, I'd rather light a candle than curse the darkness. So here we go. If you want to get in touch with the guy, it's agentsubversion@gmail.com. And again, Rant Media is not associated with that movement other than the fact that we're over here manning our own trench, and we can't get everybody in the same trench. We got to start digging other trenches. Dear Sean, let me tell you about another first day of school. I got there after the ceremonies, and they gave us all these free diaries. Now, I remember when this used to happen. They used to give us these day planners, you know. It was this big diary they gave everyone. It's called a European diary. Well, it's about 150 pages, and the first 90 pages are ad and brainwash. Yes, 90 pages. It's a flyer. Anyway, I found this neat article somewhere in it called, and it talks about how bad piracy really is. Let me translate it. Piracy is robbing the artist's paycheck, which is a lie because only about 5% of the profit of the CD sales goes to the artist, so it's the label who's robbing the money. And there is no musician who would make music without proper payment. I really laughed all over the classroom when I read that. Yeah, I've got a band for you. It's called Triad. It's by a guy named Vavrick and his crew, Hollowack and all those guys. You know, they're making some pretty dope music under Creative Commons and distributing it for the sake of art. But then I started to think, who is the artist who makes music for money? The pop artist. So the best way to beat pop and the ever horrific music industry is to share more music on the internet. Which, I mean, he's kind of got a point there. And another thing, they also said that if the record companies don't get paid enough, they simply won't burn millions of dollars worth of CDs. So it means that all the music industry has to move to the internet. Ah, and of course they don't want that. And that was from Badukan. Thank you very much. And it's glad to know just what the kind of bullshit they're feeding the kids in schools, eh? So, I got no sort yourselves out. I guess everyone hates my advice. Well, you know, if you've got any sort of need for advice in your own life and want to get, you know, my particular take on it, I guess people aren't so keen on the advice these days. But, you know, in case you do, I do have that column in the show called Sort Yourself Out, where I will more than honestly address the issues as I see fit. And I do give you my honest opinion, but it is just that. So, you know, temper that shit. On to the news. In China war news, sent in by Ronan Sariet. This is freaking me out a little bit here. India was the leading buyer of conventional arms among developing nations in 2004, a report to the U.S. Congress says. Now, the reason why that is because, well, India is being geared up by the CIA and everyone to go fight China, because they're going to be on our side, apparently. The Congressional Research Service at Delhi agreed to transfer $5.7 billion in weapons ahead of China. Interesting. India is also the leading developing weapon purchaser over the 1997 to 2004 period covered by the report, sealing 10% of all such arms agreements. The U.S. remains the largest supplier, delivering $9.6 billion in arms in 2004. Wow. The Congressional Research Service report released this week listed India and China as by far the heaviest buyers. India negotiated $15.7 billion in agreed transfers of conventional weapons between 1997 and 2004 to the top of the list. China overtook India for the period of 2001-2004 in the back on the back of the big increase in defense budget, but India was back on top after 2004 alone. Overall, global sales in 2004 are the highest since 2000. A total of $37 billion in arms sales in both industrial and developing nations was concluded. The U.S. had 33.5% of all contracts last year ahead of Russia and Britain. The annual conventional arms transfers developing nations report is thought to be the most comprehensive on global weapons sales. The weapons sales include tanks, submarines, combat aircraft, missiles, and ammunition. Now, some people feel that, you know, India's gearing up because India is going to go to war with China. That's the hope, you know, which isn't really a hope, but, you know, where the metal meets the meat, we have two choices here. They can either go to war with China, who's the 600 million ton gorilla over there. Or, you know, because China and Russia is siding together now. They're starting to do all sorts of friendly joint exercises and things like that. I have a vision of what would happen if China, Russia, and India were to all create an alliance. If China, Russia, and India all create an alliance, the rest of the world is fucked. Okay, done. There's going to be no chance to get those guys. They'll take over the Earth, pretty much. And if China, I think that China would probably take it because the machine they have built over there, it's kind of a nightmare, but that's what they'll do. So, you know, here's hoping that India doesn't throw in with China because, you know, of course, there's a lot of talk going on in the intelligence community saying that they're trying to get India to fight China so they can all do the war over there. And the war is kept off of North American soil. But, again, if India and China go on the same side, well, it's just a matter of up to Alaska, down through Canada, and into the United States they go. And that will be kind of frightening. Thank you very much. Now, on to this, into the private army news. PMC, something that I've been doing a lot of reading on lately. Something that I've been thinking about a lot lately, actually. In private army news, the U.S. Defense Department is getting ready to tell key defense companies they must keep their production plants secure against terrorists in order to continue to receive military contracts. Okay, so they're saying that your private plant has to be secure from terrorists. Paul McHale, the Assistant Defense Secretary for Homeland Defense, said plant security requirements will probably include the future contracts with companies whose factories and assembly plants are deemed to be essential U.S. warfighting capability. We're talking about Lockheed Martin. We're talking about weapons manufacturers. That's what we're talking about here. In an August 30th address on the military role in Homeland Defense, McHale said the Defense Department has a responsibility to ensure that U.S. military cannot be crippled by having its access to essential weapons or suppliers cut off. One way to accomplish this is to require weapon makers to increase security at their plants. Most plants are pretty secure, but we can't afford to have a gap or seam, McHale said. Thus, the Defense Department plans to conduct a systematic review of defense industrial plant security to require companies to tighten security where it is lax. Now, this is all talking about tightening security. McHale said he does not know yet how much security will need to be beefed up or how much it will cost. We don't want this to be onerous or inordinately expensive, McHale said. But we want defense plants to be protected. For defense companies, new security requirements will become part of cost of doing business. In his address at the Center Stage for Strategic and International Studies in Washington, McHale said the international terrorism has dramatically changed how the United States must defend itself. It is no longer enough for the U.S. military to be ready to fight militaries in other nations. The enemy now includes international terrorist organizations not aligned with national governments, and the miniaturization of technology and weapons of mass destruction had made it possible for such groups to strike with catastrophic force inside the United States. As a result, the defense has become the responsibility of the federal, state, and local agencies and elements of the private sector. There's the big one, the elements of the private sector. We're talking about Blackwater. We're talking about, you know, all the private military. We're talking about Aranus in England. We're talking about what was Executive Outcome in South Africa. Mercenaries have been around since the days of Hannibal, okay? And they're going to keep coming. And, of course, that's just we're talking about privatizing the military. And as they privatize it, well, you know, it's already a $100 billion a year annual industry. I am currently employed by a security company myself. So what does that mean? Does that mean that, well, you know, that you're a merc, Sean? Well, I suppose the mall security guard at a very base level, that fat tubby bastard lugging his sorry ass around in circles daydreaming, is in effect kind of a mercenary, really. I mean, he's accepting payment to enforce corporate policy. You know, that's what you are. You're a corp cop. At a very base level, you ain't got a gun, but what about the armored car guys? They escort cash to and from different private institutions. They are, in effect, mercenaries. Police are not mercenaries because they work for a government. And therefore, you know, they enforce laws. But when you think about it, these private contractors who are armed are, in fact, mercenaries. Now, when I think back to, again, looking at the Constitution of the United States of America, it was founded by what? Well, it was founded by men, and a lot of them were Masons. This is interesting because the Masonic Brotherhood was sort of like this weird, shadowy group. Everyone was afraid of it, 33 degrees of Masons and stuff like that. And this Masonic Brotherhood have ranks in there, 33 different degrees of, you know, all that kind of jazz, and everyone kind of moves up the chain and so on and so forth. So that's a method of, you know, sort of a brotherhood, you know? Now then, the Masons are basically dying. They don't have as much force as they used to, but to make no mistake, they still have a lot of force. I wonder what would happen if you created a sort of a Masonic-style brotherhood for veterans or soldiers and professionals of, you know, the security industry. Just a thought, you know? That kind of shit makes him crazy when I say stuff like that. He always gets a little bit freaked out. He's like, what are you doing, Sean? You know, I'm not allowed to actually write anything down or start any organizations. I'm not allowed to do that because, you know, scary things happen. In poverty news from Mega Proc Man, the U.S. poverty rate rose in 2004, driven by an increase in the number of U.S. poverty rate rose in 2004, driven by an increase in the number of poor non-Hispanic whites. While the median income for American as a whole remains stable, the government said on Tuesday. Interesting. So the economy remained stable while more poor people showed up. Interesting. The percentage of the U.S. population living in poverty rose to 12.7% from 12.5% in 2003, as 1.1 million more people slipped into poverty last year. That's a lot of people, the Census Bureau said in its annual poverty report. The ranks of the poor rose to 37 million, up from 35.9 million in the previous year, the report said. The poverty rate rose for only one group, non-Hispanic whites, which had an 8.6% poverty rate of 2004 compared to an 8.2% in 2003. The poverty rate declined for Asians and remained unchanged for blacks and Hispanics, the report showed. The real median household income in 2004 totaled $44,389 from a flat rate of 2003 and marked the second consecutive year in which the income showed no change. Black households had the lowest median income among race groups at $30,000, while Asian households had the highest at $57,000. The median income for non-Hispanic white households was $48,970 and was $34,241 for Hispanic households. You like this wonderful racial separation we got going on in these government reports? Yeah, the blacks are doing this. The Hispanics are doing that. The Asians are doing this. The white people are doing this. Now, that if that isn't promoting division, I don't know what is, you know? And, like, this is it's kind of insane to me. Income was unchanged in each census region except the U.S. Midwest, where it declined 2.8% to $44,657, the report said. Now, there's a couple of things I don't really understand about this whole, you know, poverty thing that they got going on here. There's a lot of folks who are upset. You know, there's the big South Park episode where, you know, immigrants cross the border and it's all about, they took our jobs, you know, and that whole thing. Well, I mean, everyone's people, right? And people, you know, talk to me about, well, Sean, you don't agree with borders and all this kind of jazz. Yes, I don't agree with borders. And eventually, when there is a one-world government and everybody's on the same page, there won't be a need for borders. But right now, there are different political ideologies, there are different political structures, and therefore, you need borders to show who has control of what resources. That's just the way things are. Accept it or don't accept it, but, you know, that's just the truth. Now, personally, if, you know, there was some sort of strange twist of fate and aliens came down and created me to be, the emperor of the United States there, there'd be a few drastic changes right off the top. Now, there's a lot of U.S. policy I don't understand. Okay, but I do know a couple of things. First of all, the United States makes a lot of food. Okay, that's the one thing we do. They make a lot of food. A lot of food comes out of the United States. You know what I mean? There's a lot of grain and stuff like that, milk, meat, all that good jazz. Lots of food going on there. So, realistically, if you put an imaginary wall around the United States and Canada, you know, Manifest Destiny time here, if you put a big wall around the United States and Canada, they could exist as their own private entity. You see what I mean? Like, they could just exist. Now, there's a lot of weapons makers and stuff like that. Be like, whoa, we can't sell weapons to China anymore and blah, 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 blah. Well, okay, let's just assume for a second here. Let's do this all really fast. Let's assume that Sean's got control of the servers for the United States and Canada. The first thing I think I'd do, and you're welcome to, you know, break down my points and tell me why this is dumb or not. I mean, this is just a thought here. I'll hear about this. But let's see. If I happen to get root on North America, first thing I'd do is, right off the top, I'd go, okay, the borders now instantly slam shut. Bang, thanks for coming out. Not for any other reason other than we got to figure out what's going on. You got to figure out what you got going on around you. You got to make sure that what your resources are. The second thing that happens is that the entire prison complex, which is costing a lot of money going to prisons, that's going to get cleaned out in a big hurry. Everyone in there for sex crimes and stuff like that gets geeked. Everyone on death row gets geeked, and those people in there on drug charges, it would probably take about a month. But if you're in there for a marijuana-related charge, you get a slap on the wrist and you're punted back out into the street. All the people in there for hard drugs, well, they get through a rehabilitation program. They're also on the street. Anybody we pick up for doing drug use and things like that on the street, you would have to go to a rehab center, which would be more like a jail than a rehab center. And, of course, you have to tell us where you are getting the drugs from. If you're caught for... dope would be legal, too, by the way. Booze and dope are both legal now. Anything like the hard stuff, chemically synthetic stuff, all that kind of jazz. If you're caught manufacturing or trafficking that stuff, you're killed. Thanks. Now, that's pretty much handles most of my prison problems. Anything else other than that, we already know my policy regarding, you know, corporal punishment, all that kind of jazz. So that gets streamlined a lot. Boom. Next thing that happens, of course, after we shut the borders down, is we're going to bring back all our troops. Everybody home. Fuck these other nations. Bye-bye. We're out of there. What about all them? I don't care. I'm running North America. If the rest of the planet rots, it's not my problem. Boom. Everybody gets home. Now, after we get all the troops back, everybody back in the country, let's say the next thing we want to do is we want to make sure that the little blue ball that we all live on, you know, Earth, that has to remain consistent. We have to make sure that we have air to breathe and stuff like that. So there's a few environmental things that I would dispatch the military to go take care of, i.e. the Amazon basin, i.e. the pollution, people polluting the environment, stuff like that. That's got to stop, and you got to put in strict, stringent laws regarding environmentalism. Now, of course, whenever there's a change, I mean, think about it. When Sumerian went and took the Rant radio station, went from just Rant radio to multiple stations, the people who are our fans were yelling and screaming, oh my God, it's the end of the world. I can't believe this. We don't like change. People hate change. So when you do this stuff, people are going to be all up in arms saying, you can't do this, you can't do that, oh my God, and that's why you need a military. So you say, sorry, we actually have the authority here, we're going to do this. Well, I don't agree with it. Noted, noted. And because you don't have the force and we are the ruling party, you have no say. You see, there's the illusion of choice, and we all are totally, this blows my mind. People think we have a choice. We really don't. There is no choice. You're given the illusion of choice between choosing between, what, Bush and Kerry? That's a choice? And somehow we're happy with that? We're placated with that? That's bullshit. It's not a choice. And you can't really have choice because when you do have, you know, massive chaos, nothing gets accomplished. Now, well, that all said, rah, 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 rah. Okay, great. Great. When you have, if you go with a completely libertarian, you got two choices you can go. You can go no government whatsoever and go completely libertarian. But then eventually a government will emerge because there will be, it turns into a warlord system where eventually, and then you wind up with one warlord who rules by complete force altogether, and you wind up with secret police and all this kind of jazz. So what are you saying, Sean? You're saying you want to go like China and start, you know, regulating, you know, birth rates and all that kind of jazz? Well, I don't know, man. I don't know. It seems that no matter what system you use, you take it to extremes, you can find good and bad in anything. And to be honest with you, I think at one point I'd probably just get pissed off of being Emperor of North America, and I'd probably turn corrupt. You know, truth is, of course, depending on who you are, you might look at me and say, well, Sean, you wouldn't have far to go, you psycho bastard. But, you know, realistically, there are, you know, a lot of things that could be done immediately to, you know, kind of look after America and North America a lot better. First of which being, let's get our soldiers back on target, stop bleeding money everywhere, and look after our own people first, okay? Our own people are in trouble. America, North America, is in real trouble, and it is our number one priority not to multinational gods, sorry, corporations. That is not our number one priority. Our number one priority is to the people. And right or wrong, whether or not you'd like my policies, I'm here to tell you this much. Any decision I would make would be, honestly, what I would believe would be best for the people, okay? As in the group, as in the human race, with the eventual goal of what? That's right, getting off world. Eventual goal is spatial exploration and colonization to gather more resources. It's kind of like, you know, a game of Risk or something. Anyway, that's just my take on it. In Umbrella Corp news, well, it's actually Umbrella Corp lotion. This is kind of a little frightening. You remember that commercial they ran? It was on the beginning of the theaters where they're like, you know, revive, and you'd smear the shit on you, it would genetically alter your skin and make you look younger? Well, U.S. scientists say they've developed a lotion which repairs sun-damaged skin. The lotion, currently undergoing clinical trials, contains a protein which mends DNA damage done by the sun. AGI Demantix said tests had shown that the cream cut skin cancer rates when used daily for a year on people who were susceptible to the disease. Expert says it may encourage people to spend longer in the sun. AGI Demantix stressed the cream was no alternative to sunscreen. Don't not use sunscreen. Skin cancer kills more than 2,000 people a year in the UK. I didn't know that. Oil sacs in the lotion allow a protein called T4 endonucleus to penetrate the skin cells. Once inside the cell's nucleus, the protein removes the damaged areas of the DNA and starts to repair the process that the body completes. Good God. DNA altering lotion. Kind of frightening. A little bit, I think I'm going to wait for that to be out of beta. Thanks. The lotion and protein enter cells within an hour of application and produce measurable results within 6 hours, researchers from the New York firm told the American Chemical Society's annual conference. And after 40 hours, the skin turns scaly and you grow hair. I'm making that up. The lotion was tested on 30 people with a rare genetic disease called xeroderma pigmentosum, which made them more susceptible to skin cancer. Now, I think I've heard of these guys. These are the dudes who get, like, all-over skin tattoos. Like, they cover their whole body in tattoos in order to help them deal with the sun. Daily applications of the lotion resulted in a third fewer skin cancers and two-thirds fewer precancer lesions in those who did not use it. Interesting. Or those who did not use it. So the stuff's good stuff. It helps repair the skin. Kind of handy. Now, going with some ancient mysteries here, for those of you out there who never watched the History Channel, wondered about Easter Island, that's one of the big... I've always been wondering about ancient cultures and societies. And, of course, I believe in UFOs. Of course, everyone should believe in UFOs, because all you have to do is see something in the sky you don't understand, and technically that is a UFO. But I actually believe in the whole, you know, outworld entity thing. Things not from this planet, which are, you know, either from this planet or maybe undersea civilization. That kind of, you know, the weird, hokey, you know, coast-to-coast crowd. I'm very tactical going in there. I'm not too friendly with them. And if there are aliens, I'm definitely not down with them because I, again, don't like the whole concept of being, you know, a slave race. Which, you know, I'm that piece of bacteria in the Petri dish who would stand up and say, screw you, hippie. Now, a researcher at the Rochester Institute of Technology is unraveling a mystery surrounding Easter Island. William Bassner, assistant professor of mathematics, has created the first mathematical formula to accurately model the island's monumental society collapse. Between 1200 and 1500 AD, a small remote island, very remote island, 2,000 miles off the coast of Chile, too far to swim, was inhabited by over 10,000 people and had a relatively sophisticated technologically advanced society during this time. Maybe the Wogs should go take over Easter Island, eh? That'd be tight. Inhabitants used large boats for fishing and navigation, constructed numerous buildings, and built many of the large statues known as tiki gods, for which the island is now best known. However, in the late 18th century, when European explorers first discovered the island, the population had dropped to 2,000, and the islanders were living near a primitive condition with almost all elements of the previous society completely wiped out. The reason behind Easter Island's population crash are complex, but do stem from the fact that the inhabitants eventually ran out of finite resources, including food and building materials, causing a massive famine and the collapse of their society, Bassner says. Unfortunately, none of the current mathematical models used to study population development predict this sort of growth and quick decay in human communities. This is the kind of research that sort of freaks me out, where you want to take this stuff and, you know, kind of... apply it to things like North America and see, you know, just sort of get sort of an idea of where you want to go with this, because it's got some frightening junk going on there. Now I'm going to be a cyberpunk kit for you. Oh, this one's very hot, too. I've been on a watch fetish lately. I'm thinking about getting myself. You're going to see watches a lot the next little while, because my birthday's coming up. Yay, me. Yay, me. So I've been bugging my wife that I might want a watch. And what I'm doing is I'm sending her little emails with different watches on it that I might want. Of course, you know, if I don't get a watch, that's okay. But I'm kind of into watches, you know. And it's hard. You know, it's funny when you're into gadgets, purely speaking as a guy here. Purely speaking, as a massive consumer whore guy here, it's hard to pick out a watch. It is. I mean, you know, I've got my repeater watch. Now, I should be the first to state, I have watches. Okay, much like knives, I have more than enough watches to survive in my daily life. You know, it's like I could stand there and I could say, how dare you ask for a watch, Sean, when there's people starving all over the world? Well, I'm sorry. I'm sorry about that. I'm not going to feel guilty about me being able to buy a watch. I'm sorry, I'd like to get a watch. I want to buy one. They're cool. So, you know, without getting all the craziness and all the, you know, you consumer whoreness, all that shit aside, watches are cool. So I'm going to look and talk about watches a little bit. Now, this particular watch I'm talking about here is a pretty sexy watch. Now, it is not unheard of to have a 1 gig USB drive in a watch. It's fairly common. But I really advise you, go take a look at the watch, because it doesn't look like it's got a gig's worth of storage in it. It looks just like one of these, you know, James Bond style, you know, kind of watches. It looks like a cool watch. And what it's got is it's got a gig's worth of USB storage. Very, very cool. Ultra-fast 2.0 data rate, USB stainless steel construction, Japanese citizen precision movement, USB cable included, which, of course, you'd probably get one of those little retractable joggies, and it's plug-and-play with a 5-year warranty. Very, very hot. Very hot. So that's one. The other watches I'm talking about, I'll probably have to find one or two and link to them, but I've been thinking a little bit about the Tritium watches. I'm a little concerned about the Tritium and whether or not Tritium actually screws up your wrist over, like, a 10-year period. Like, if you wear a Tritium-filled watch, releasing radiation. There's all kinds of people say, oh, no, it's safe, it's safe, it's safe, but I'm a little bit leery. If any of our listeners have had a radiation watch, like a tritium-filled watch, and have worn it for more than a couple of years, if you could, you know, drop me an email, newsreel@rantradio.com, I'd like to hear about that, because it's, you know, it's kind of cool. I'd like them. There's two big makers right now of tritium watches that I know of that are the big names. There's one called Luminox, and there's one called Tracer. And I prefer the Tracer ones because, well, they're a little bit more, I don't know, they seem to have less bells and whistles. I'm not really up for the bells and whistles too much. I like function, you know, and the Tracer ones seem to be pretty straightforward. In saucer jockey cult news, yes, my buddies the Raelians, who I've fucked with multiple times, it seems that two amateur documentary filmmakers say they've infiltrated the UFO cloning sect known as the Raelians and come away with candid videos they hope will further tarnish the group's reputation and will help shut it down. Now, this will be interesting because, Sim, I really want to get it. Like, once this hits BitTorrent, baby, I really want to see it. As a matter of fact, you know what? As soon as that video is available, I'm going to march right on out there and buy that sucker. Hell, I might buy two or three of them just to assist in helping these junior filmmakers out there. And with guys like this, you don't really want to download it. You want to buy it because these guys need the money. And, of course, they seem to be on the right page. The Raelians are no strangers to bad press. Bridget Bossier, the scariest woman in science, and Aurelian Bishop, and biochemist created media furor in December of 2002 when she announced the world's first successful cloning of a human. But her credibility, as well as Aurelian's, was questioned when she never produced Baby Eve or 12 other purported clones. Now, rare video footage of the group taken at one of its Las Vegas seminars has been spun into a yet unreleased documentary that brings a fresh critical slant to the Raelians. Replete with allegations that the sex uses sex as a recruitment tool. Sweet. So all you got to do is hang out with the, hanging around with the recruitments. You'll get laid lots and then take off. You know, cultists are for boning. Targeting people most likely to sympathize with its message that aliens populated the world. Trekkies and whatnot. Now that's just slagging. Because if you actually, like a lot of people go, oh yeah, the Trekkies. Have you ever actually looked at the Trekkies? There are some scary brains in Trek, okay? The Trekkies are many things, crazy, possibly a little disturbed, but stupid is not one of them. I've seen Trekkies that are staggeringly clever, like dudes who just, oh, they're like, wow, I hope you never use your powers for evil. This is explained by Abdullah Hashim, who taped a group in May as part of a broader personal investigation of the group. There are a lot of people at those seminars who believe in aliens. Great, I'm one of them too. There's nothing wrong with it. It'd be a lonely universe if we're the only ones. And all these beautiful women who want to have sex with you even though you're a dork. Aha! So, might be worthwhile to hit the railing convention in Vegas, eh? And that's why most people were there, sweet! Billed as an expose, the video does a little to shed light on the cloning controversy, according to its maker's own admissions. In a taped interview, Bossier largely ducks questions about the existence of Baby Eve, Hashim said, and Claude Virilion, the Raelian leader, who's a guy who I'm concerned might be a robot, says he has never seen the baby, but he supports Bossier's efforts morally. Oh, so now he's hanging her out to dry. In fact, few people believe the cloning claims anyway. So there's very little left to debunk. But the video does offer a little seen view of the inner workings of the Raelians and sway that Virilion, a.k.a. Rael, wields over his followers, according to people who have seen it. I think what's disturbing of the Raelians is a total submission members have to Claude Virilion, and the fact that families have been estranged and marriages have been broken as a result of his influence, said Rick Ross, a cult expert based in Jersey City, New Jersey, who has seen the documentary footage. In an interview with Wired, the Raelians dismiss Hashim's claims as a big misunderstanding. Spokesman Sage Ali said the group has nothing to hide and does not have shame of anything the team may have recorded. Interesting. So the Raelians are like, that's fine, we don't care. Go ahead, run what you want. We don't give a shit. Fairball, psycho boy. I was in a Raelian speech. For those of you who haven't checked out the earlier episodes of SKTFM.TV, I actually went to one of their little cult meetings. I mean, how could you not? I'm walking around in the parking lot, and I find this thing tucked on the window. Would you want to see the true face of God? And it's got, you know, a little alien dude on it. I'm like, fuck yeah, I want to see the true face of God. Set me up. So I went down there to check it out, and they proceeded to tell me, this is one of their just really base level. And I took them at their word. You know, I took them at their word. They said that, you know, all the shit that happened in the Bible, i.e., you know, the flood or anything that was, you know, healings and God saving people or whatever, that was all aliens doing that shit. And the dinosaurs, yeah, they were wiped out by the aliens because they were a mistake that they made, so they wiped them out. Now, from their own doctrine, using just critical thinking, I deduced that, A, why would you make dinosaurs? Because, really, they sound like they'd be a pretty sweet weapons race. Like, imagine that. There you are in Iraq. You got Fallujah, right? There's all these insurgents in there? No problem. Release the velociraptors. You know, I mean, wow. You know, hundreds of velociraptors with cameras on them using those remote control brain switch things being controlled by nerds would be like UAVs, unmanned universal remote velociraptors running through buildings and eating people. Hell, be like a first-person shooter. You get your very own velociraptor. He gets taken out. Send out a new one. It'd be fantastic. Well, you know, I get excited about this sort of thing. Remote-controlled dinosaurs are a pretty hot concept. But anyway, unfortunately, back to the realms of reality, they went on to further say, but, you know, more about this whole, you know, biblical stuff, which means that all the firstborn in Egypt getting geeked, well, that was all the Raelians. And when you think about how many people actually got murdered by God in the Bible, and that was the Raelians doing all that? Dude, the last thing I'd want is invite these motherfuckers back. Thanks for coming out. But, you know, that's just me crucifying them with their own doctrine, you know, because it's fun. Now, more cyberpunk kit. Now, I might actually look at this because I could use this in my job. This would make some great... check this thing out. This is something I could just get for... Well, there's a million uses for this in my job doing security, let me tell you. We like ruggedized electronics, and we like this one in particular as it helped the world participate more fully in extreme sports adventures, like sport fighting outside of bars. Samsung's new ruggedized Sports Minicat VPX 1100L is a new variant range of combining a camcorder, digital camera, and MP3 player. Most importantly, the Sports Minicat has been developed with an external camera and a set of mounting, specifically so that it will be ideal for recording all manner of outdoor activities, from adrenaline-charged action sports through, well, almost anything. Its drawback is the digital still camera is still a hopelessly inadequate 800x600, and, you know, it produces... I don't want to read you this whole thing because it reads like a total ad for the product. But, you know, bottom line is, you know those little cameras that used to be on the alien helmet? That's the kind of camera that we're talking about here. It's very, very cool. Now, Agent Subversion sent me another story here. In dock-dropping news, it seems that scores of British spies fear their cover is blown after they were named by a U.S. website. It listed 121 alleged secret agents, including former liberal Democrat leader Patty Ashdown, Some are understood to be serving intelligence officers based around the world. Foreign Office blasted the website as extremely irresponsible. Well, again, the website releasing this information is pretty irresponsible, I have to say, because you could put people's lives in danger, and I'm not down with that. But realistically, how is it possible that this website, by them blasting the website, they've given the website credibility? I would have just simply, contacted them privately and said, listen, guy, you know, you're gonna kill people. And if the website says, well, fuck you, we don't care if we kill your agents, then, well, you know, the next step has to be taken, because you can't be having your people know. Now, obviously, rather than go over there and take out the guy running the website, these agents are instantly pulled. All these agents are left, and then you have to take more covert measures to make sure your agents aren't discovered. So if this guy with a website knew the agents were out there, what do you suppose that other intelligence communities also knew these agents were out there? And these are, there's like listings of MI6 agents and all sorts of stuff here. Kind of scary jazz. Now, in scumbag news, I got a story here. A convicted felon is on his way back to jail. Lorenzo Atkins was charged with attempted murder on two Gainesville police officers. Scumbag. Police say Atkins got into a violent struggle with Officer Safiya Rim and Officer Adura Dahl behind the Domino's on 13th Street. Where is this? Gainesville. On 13th Street at 3 p.m. Tuesday afternoon. So 3 p.m., middle of the day. Okay, pretty much. During the fight, police say Atkins has repeatedly said, I'm going to kill you. They say he pulled out a revolver, and when he lost control of his own revolver, he tried to get the officer's gun. This is a miracle to me that this guy didn't get shot, okay? Because I'm like, I'm going to kill you. I have a revolver. Well, you know, you're getting shot. That's how that works. The cops asked a bystander. Now, this is the real point of the story. The cops asked the bystander, Edgar Perez, for help, but he didn't do shit. This individual is asked by the officers to assist him, and he stood by and watched, said Sergeant Keith Kamag, the Gainesville Police Department. Now, did he do anything wrong? Did he do anything illegal? No, all he did was not comply with the orders of the cop, which, I mean, that's a lawful command by a cop, blah, 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 blah. But, so Perez, the guy who stood by and did jack shit, was charged with a misdemeanor for neglect and refusal to aid police officers. But what kind of a sick piece of shit would just let, you know, a guy who's a cop, you know, fighting with this dude and they're asking for help, why don't they... I can't imagine the mentality of that individual. You know, it'd be enough. That just makes me angry. And if anyone out there agrees with this guy, then you're no friend of mine. I'll tell you that. Now, in public headspace news, sent to me by Agent Thaw, when John D. Miller looks out across America, which he can do from his 18th floor office at the Northwestern University Medical School in Chicago, he sees a landscape of haves and have-nots in terms not of money, but of knowledge. Now, this is very true. Dr. Miller, 63, is a political scientist who directs the Center for Biomedical Communications at medical school, studies how much Americans know about and what they think about. His findings are not encouraging. While scientific literacy has doubled in the past two decades, only 20 to 25% of Americans are scientifically savvy and alert, he said, interviewing, most of the rest of us don't have a clue. At a time when science permeates debates on everything from global warming to stem cell research, he said, people's inability to understand basic scientific concepts undermines the ability to take part in the democratic process, which I'm not even so sure the democratic process is all it's cracked up to be. And all you have to do is look at how many people are going to church, and you can see pretty openly what's going on with that whole science thing. You know what I'm saying here? Not that I have a problem with church. Great place to meet chicks. Lots of good women in church. But the problem here is that, you know, when people are starting to, you know, make political and life-based decisions because of some imaginary figure in the sky, I have a problem with that. Now, keeping with science, to educate yourself, let's talk about MIT's Daily Hack, MIT's Open Courseware. It's a free, open educational system for faculty, students, and self-learners around the world. The Open Courseware supports MIT's mission to advance knowledge and education, and it serves the world in a 21st century. It is true that MIT values excellence, innovation, and leadership, and because of this free program, you can get yourself up in the world. And if you can get any kind of documentation with MIT's name on it, you know that's good on the resume. Look into that. So that's all I got for you today. But don't worry, Sam and I will be back on Monday to make sure you get all the information you need to stay alive. This is a free radio broadcast brought to you by the generous donations of 71 people for the month of July, with 5 new people who showed up, so 76 people total giving this show value. Thank you so much for your donations. Without you, I could not do this. If you would like to help keep this daily news broadcast on the air and generally make me feel better about myself, please, that was just weak. Please visit rantmedia.ca and click on the donate tab. Special shouts out to all the sites that podcast Newsreel, including BinRev and all the people who donate storage and store Newsreel for the downloads and podcasts. Thank you so much, guys. You guys do a ton, and you're honestly making a huge difference in the ongoing war for the mind. You are a consciousness commando. Thanks again for everyone and their assistance in gathering data. If you have access to sensitive information or any of the pertinent stories, please email them to Newsreel. That's N-E-W-S-R-E-A-L at rantradio.com. If you like the music in the background, be sure to pick up the album by Terminal Choice called Collective Suicide. Notice the tongue-in-cheek. I'm also going to leave you now with a track by Bad Religion called Let Them Eat War. Thank you very much. So until tomorrow, that's what server said. End of line.